So we're up and running on a Wednesday on the Noon Business Lunch. As always, Terry Savage, the syndicated financial columnist, the money lady, is here. Hi, Terry.
I'm looking forward to today so much.
You are sweating.
I took off my scarf because I'm just getting fired up about our guest. Our guest is my good friend. He's allowed me to be his co-author on Social Security Horror Stories. He is the professor of economics at Boston University, creator of some incredible software, Maxify Planning and MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. He explains what's wrong with the way Wall Street plans for you, what their incentives are versus what really the numbers should be. He's written a fabulous book. I didn't know him when I called him after I got his book, Money Magic. And then we started on our Social Security Horror Stories quest. I predict that he will win the Nobel in Economics for sure.
The clawback that you and he were talking about on 60 Minutes, among other places, from Social Security is people who were given money they should not have received, and the administration was trying to claw it back. You guys advocated for those people and I think managed to execute real change for people.
We did for some people until the administration changed. We had the Social Security Commissioner, the last one under Biden here, and then everything changed. He was understanding, responsible, said, hey, we're not going to take people's entire checks away to make them get even when we made a mistake.
And to me, that's just one troubling thing about Social Security. And then the other thing that you and I talk about, and we'll get Larry on in just a minute about this, Terry, is people convinced that they should start to take Social Security as early as possible. Okay. And I know that topic exhausts you.
We've danced up and down. I've written columns. I just posted a new column at terrysavage.com based on Larry's latest Substack. You want to subscribe if you know what Substack is, because his columns and his podcasts that he does are just the most worthwhile things. But we have danced up and down about how, and I've made the arguments, I'm going to let Larry do that now, that it really makes sense if you can afford it. I mean, you haven't lost your job, you have other assets you could use, maybe withdraw from your IRA or something like that. It makes sense to wait. Now, look, I want to acknowledge this. I could not convince my own younger brother to wait. In fact, only 10% of people wait till age 70.
Really, 10%?
10%. So I'm exhausted trying to make this, and I wrote the column, and I got a couple of questions on my Ask Terry blog at terrysavage.com, and I said, wait a minute, Larry, I want you on the air so you can deal with this, and with that, I turn it over to you.
Okay, Terry Savage, introduce our guest.
Larry Kotlikoff, famed economist, professor at Boston University, author of numerous books, including with me, Social Security Horror Stories, but before that, legendary Forget What's Yours from Social Security, which he co-authored with Phil Mohler. And now, the man who has gone out front, he's created MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com and Maxify Planning, which I hope we'll talk about. But Larry.
Hi, Larry. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much, Terry, for all these nice words, but you're the treasurer of the country when it comes to financial advice, and I'm just honored to have met, become friends and written that book with you.
Well, we had a lot of fun, and we had a lot of pain, but a lot of amazing coincidence.
All right, get to Social Security stuff.
All right, look, here's the deal. The average Social Security benefit in this country is $2,000 this year.
A month.
A month. So if you delayed, if instead of taking it at age 62 when you're eligible, you waited till 70, even inflation adjusted, a 76% increase, an additional not 2,000 but the total
inflation
of over
adjusted
1,500. This has been your mantra. I've written about it because I know you and I believe you. Everybody says, I give you all the arguments at once, you can demolish them. I won't even be around if I wait till 70. I could take the money now and invest it and make more money. I really need it. I what would I do if I didn't have it? I might as well take it because, Larry, tell everybody why they should wait.
Okay, first of all, thanks, Terry. Nobody can count on dying on time, and even though Wall Street wants you to think that way and therefore take your Social Security money early, and even the Social Security Administration is pushing people to take their money early because they save money because they're very generous. If you wait, extremely generous, you can't get this kind of safe return on the market. Now, you are what you're doing is buying longevity risk. Since you can't count on dying on time, you have to worry about the worst case scenario, which is the catastrophic risk. You live to 100, you have to pay for yourself the whole way there. It's just like the catastrophic risk with buying homeowners insurance. We look at having our house burned down. We don't think about the average fire. We think about the worst fire. We don't think about the average car accident. We think about totaling the car or the health. So we have to think about the worst case scenario here too, which is we live to 100, and having a higher 76% higher check in today's dollars coming in every month is you know, you're going to thank your you know, heaven that you did that.
If you wait till 70, if you wait till 70, it's 76% more than if you take it at 62.
Now, just be clear, not everybody should wait till 70. If you have a, you know, if you're absolutely sure you're not going to make it beyond 85, if you have a disabled children that you can get, you can't get.
If it's your only income, then you have no choice.
If you're cash flow constrained, but I would borrow, beg, and steal from my brother and sister, whatever, to make sure that you're not leaving huge amounts of money. Because we think about Social Security as most important for low wage workers, which it is, but for the high wage workers have the most at stake in terms of absolute dollars. So we could be talking about $600,000 for a high wage, high power couple if they take the benefits at 62. Now, Terry says, well, a couple like that might say, well, I can make a whole lot more on the stock market. You can with risk. And the risk has, you know, once you risk adjust for that, for the fact that the stock market is all over the place and can be, you know, can drop. People are talking today about the market doing another 50% drop as it did in the Great Recession. Once you take that into account, the return on a risk-adjusted basis is the same return you can get on inflation index bonds, treasury inflation protected securities, TIPS. And that's what our software uses to value future, to discount, to make less of future Social Security benefits. You discount those at the TIPS rate of return because those Social Security benefits are for sure, and you want to be discounting at a proper
If it's $2,000 a month is the average monthly Social Security check, that's $24,000 a year. If I start taking that at 65 even, rather than 70, I've got 5 years at $24,000, and that's $120,000 a year. Or that's $120,000 I would have netted before I took a dime, according to you guys, from Social Security. You're telling me to leave $120,000 on the table? How long do I have to live past 70? to get the $120,000 back?
Would you ask how big does your fire have to be before it's worth it to have full coverage? Would you ask that question, John? You wouldn't ask that question. You know immediately, instinctively, that you want to have full coverage, because if you lose your entire house in a fire and you have no insurance or not proper insurance, you'll be on the street. And that's the same thing here. If you live to 100, and many, many people are doing that, or at least one member of a couple. My mom lived to 98. She was 88. I bought an annuity from her. She was the oldest client of the Principal Life Insurance Company to buy an annuity, and I bought it for her. My brother, who's a brilliant guy and sister, brilliant person, he's the president of Cornell. I said, do not buy this. She's going to not make it beyond 4 more years. That's her life expectancy.
And she lived for 12
more. Life expectancy does not matter. And average fire does not matter. Average car accident doesn't matter.
But I'm still going to get
the
money.
Average person. But,
but
not
I
the
will,
average person.
But I'll still be getting money, Larry. It's not like the fire burned my house down and I have no money. I will still be getting my $2,000 a month.
So you'll live in a shack. You'll drive a, you know, if you have a very expensive house and you lose half the house because you bought underinsured, that's a risk. And people don't do it. And they don't do it in every other insurance context, but here, in this context,
well, it's misnamed.
What's going on here, John? I think what's going on is that people are superstitious, that they think, as they think about living to a long life, that you're going to die tomorrow. And that leads them somehow psychologically to not worry about
insurance policy. Maybe that's the problem. I think of Social Security as income. You're describing it
it's
as
not.
Insurance.
It's an insurance. when you give up benefits, the 100 and whatever number you're coming up with for so many years, you're buying a much higher stream of income. You're buying an annuity, an inflation-indexed annuity. The only place in the country that sells inflation-indexed annuities to you is Social Security, and you give up benefits for a few years, up to eight, and then you get a much higher, you get this much higher stream of benefits. You've in effect paid to get a high, very.
But the two of you would admit that if I die at 75,
you won't know about it. If you died at 75,
I didn't say that. All I'm saying is the two of you must admit that if I die at 75, I have missed $120,000 that I could have
had. If your house doesn't burn down, you would have paid all those premiums, all those years.
Let me put it this way.
And tip yourself. That's ridiculous. Sorry.
Here's what happens.
Are you calling me ridiculous?
Yes. I'll answer for him because we're partners. But look, watch this. If my dad lived to be 96, that was pretty astounding. I mean, so it scares me a little bit. The thought of, I mean, I don't want to jinx it. You're right, Larry. We
we're
don't want to talk
a break
about
in 30
it.
But seconds.
Here's,
go.
Here's the main point. By the time you're nine, my planning is that I will probably run out of money, I think, by the time I'm 95. 96 is my outset. But what if you live those extra 4 years? You want that income coming in. You don't want, I mean, gosh, Medicaid won't even be there in 40 years, whatever it is. So the thing is, you give up a little now for sleeping well, knowing you get the big check later and you'll never be totally broke.
And 10% of the population does that.
Well, so they don't know. That's why we're doing the show.
We must have a sales problem, too. It's Wednesday, so Terry Savage is with her special guest, Larry Kotlikoff, the guy that does that. MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com website, which Terry champions. They co-authored a book about Social Security and the clawback. He is a professor of economics at Boston University, and Terry has him in front of the Nobel Prize Committee for Economics. So stay tuned for that.
I want to see that. Now, look, we forgot. I forgot to ask you, John. And
rational
I did.
Exuberance, John.
Here's the question that really also is on everyone's mind. I didn't ask you to address it, and you do it so well, which is, okay, yeah, but we know that, quote, Social Security is running out of money, and in less than 10 years, they won't be able to pay full benefits. Why don't you respond to that argument people make for grabbing it now?
So definitely the gains from waiting are smaller, and if your maximum age is not 100, if it's 90 or 85, it may be closer to break-even taking it now versus under those circumstances. And you can certainly run that.
Under those circumstances. Go ahead.
And you can run that in our MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com program, but also our Maxify, M-A-X-I-F-I, not F-Y, but F-I.com program. They both use the same Social Security code. So, yeah, there are circumstances where benefit cuts, if they're big enough, and if your maximum, not your expected, but your maximum age of life is short enough, that it behooves you to move early. So it's not always
one size fits all. But, do you think
all,
that it's going to run out? What do you think is going to happen? Are they going to find a way to refund it? Are they going to minimize payments, Larry, because of the depleting fund?
I think they're going to do what they've done in the past, which is too little, too late, and leave us into a. I think what they're going to do is not cut the benefits because that's going to lead to too many congressmen getting kicked out of office. I think what they're going to do is raise the payroll tax, mm-hmm. and on high wage earners,
yep.
And gradually raise the retirement age for younger people. And again, it's going to be, you recall probably, John. You sound a little bit too young, but maybe you do. The Greenspan Commission, 1983, which supposedly fixed the problem. That was Alan Greenspan as the chairman of the Fed with a bunch of members of Congress. They had a solution. Well, what they did is operate on half the tumor. The tumor right now is twice as big as it was back then, scaled to the economy. In terms of what requisite permanent percentage point tax hike we need in the payroll tax, it has to be 4.5 percentage points. It used to have to be 2 percentage points. Now we need our FICA payroll tax rate, which is employer plus employee, 12.4% now, has to go to 16.9.
15 or 16.9
starting today, wow. And continuing forever in order to. This is according to the trustees report that came out last April. If we look at the next one, it'll be even worse. So we have
We need congressmen with courage. What about this, though? Some of our listeners are asking this question. What are we feeling about collecting at 67? Isn't, Terry, what do you call 67?
That is your official full retirement age.
Full retirement.
The point at which
what does that mean?
You're not penalized for having other earnings, which you eventually get back in a formula called the Riblin formula, which Larry would spend an hour discussing. But basically, if you're earning money up above a certain level, income, and a very low level, then your benefits are reduced anyway. So everybody should wait. I mean, unless you just don't have any other income, you can't do the job anymore, et cetera, et cetera. But we're talking about people with choice should wait at least till the full retirement age. But every year after that, you get an 8% increase in your base check.
Well, then that doesn't sound
and
like full retirement.
On top of that, you'll get cost of living increases.
Got it. But all right, so full retirement age, 67, doesn't mean that at 68, 69, and 70, your benefit won't be larger. It continues to grow past those ages,
yeah,
8% correct?
8% a year.
Exactly, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you both say about married couples? Terry, you and I.
Oh, let's let Larry talk about, we call it the widow's trap. Larry, talk about, well, first of all, can we just back up a minute? You think you're going to go on Social Security, you're going to go to SSA.gov and sign up, or you used to call them, and they'll tell you what you get, and it's going to be fine. Let us disabuse you of that. Larry, talk about the kinds of thing, the reason we need to go to MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com, the kind of mistakes, and then the kind of advice.
So, you really don't want to go to Social Security and ask them what to do. You want to tell them exactly what to do. For $49, we have a software tool which can figure out, and you can look at different options. You get the right answer. If you're a widow, for example, I'll show you how there are six different widows benefit formulas that we have in our software. And if you're, let's say, currently 62 and your spouse just died, and they took their retirement benefit early, you've got a different widow's benefit formula than if they didn't take their retirement benefit early, let's say they're a little bit older than you.
Yeah.
So what you should optimally do, whether you should take your widow's benefit first or your retirement benefit first, and then if you take the retirement benefit first, exactly when your widow's benefit will peak. These things are complicated. They require very detailed, complex algorithms to look at every possible filing
strategy. Right, but you have done that, so I'll type in the information. I type in the information, and then
I'll give you
calculate
one. I got this on a post on Ask Terry. It was my husband is 70. He waited to take his benefits, or he's going to wait, or something like that. I'm 62. Should I take my benefit now and then wait? If he's alive, I know I get half of his benefit, but only half of his benefit at full retirement age. But what if he dies? Is it smart for him to wait to 70 and for me to take my own personal benefit now? And then how do I make sure that that's exactly what they do, what I tell them to do? Larry, talk about that.
Well, every case is different. So if the husband, dies having taken his benefit before retirement age is one thing. If he dies after, depending on what particular age he dies at. So deciding what you should do very much depends on what your husband did or what your husband, if he's still alive, is going to do. So it's a joint optimization problem, and that's what the program is solving. So,
right.
Well,
but here's a specific example. If I start taking Social Security payments now, I'll get $1,000 a month. If I wait to 70, the chart on Social Security says I get $1,280 rather than $1,000. Since my
it's $1,760 if you started at 70. If you're 62 and you could get $1,000 a month, it would go up to $1,760.
$1,760
in hot dogs.
Since my husband's Social Security payment, though, will be quite a bit more, and since I will get his if he dies first, why is it so bad to take the money now?
Well, first of all, you can't count on him dying at any age before his maximum age. And so you could end up screwing yourself over because you're counting on something that's not for sure. So you want to be very cautious about it. You want to think about the worst case scenario, the house burning down, you both living to your maximum age of life. Or you can look at, you know, say, well, it's just impossible for him to live to 100. The maximum he could live to is 90. We'll run it that way. But you need to look at these options in the program. It takes you 2 seconds to see the answers and then make an informed decision. The problem is people are just sitting there winging it, and then they go to the Social Security website, and half of it's screwed up and wrong.
Yeah, you guys don't like their website. All right, what about this? Sometimes people, this is just another listener, can't stand to keep working in a bad job. It happened to me after 35 years in that job. I quit when I was 62, and I don't regret it. So this sounds like somebody taking the minimal amount at 62, and they're not unhappy about it. You two will tell this person that mathematically they've made a bad decision. They're leaving money on the table.
If they have no other source of income, they obviously have to do this.
I don't know what this other person's source of. All I'm saying is this person doesn't regret it. So while you guys are trying to help people
neither
get
does
the
my
most,
own brother. What can I say?
So there you are. You guys are trying to tell people how to get the most money. This person says, I have less money and I'm okay with that.
As long as you know. As long as you make an informed decision. Larry?
Yeah, if that person could have afforded to wait till 70, had plenty of money in the bank, or could borrow from their brother and get through to 70, and then have a much higher living standard, and be going on cruises twice a year, and having a much nicer retirement, well, she said she's fine, but could she be finer? That's the issue. Why leave money on the table?
If
you don't need to.
And Terry often says, if you die having left money on the table, you won't care. You're dead. So it doesn't matter, right? So afford yourself the possibility of living longer and having more money goes the thinking. Terry Savage is here, and her friend Larry Kotlikoff is as well.
Yes, Larry Kotlikoff, the reason I said Nobel is not just because of his incredible work on Social Security, and you can believe it or not, you'll do what you want to do about Social Security. We're just making the case here that even if the government has challenges, you can run your maximum Social Security benefit. You and your spouse, do you take yours, hers, you know, what if your spouse doesn't die, etc., at MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. It costs $49. You get the answers. You don't have to listen to some dummy who doesn't know. But the real creativity is something called Maxify, M-A-X-I-F-I. It's a planning system that Larry says, well, he's taken on Wall Street. Explain.
Well, economics, going back 100 years, has developed the field of finance. And we don't, Maxify is not a sales tool. It's a planning tool and lets you have full control of your financial future. The first thing it does is it says, let's plan on a safety first basis. Let's assume you invest as safely as possible in inflation index bonds. Let's see what you, given your resources, what you can spend on a sustainable basis. Let's make a plan that you can, you know, if that plan works for you, why gamble in the market? Maybe you're, you know, why not sleep at night? And then let's figure out safe ways to raise your living standard by maximizing your Social Security benefits, minimizing your taxes, Roth conversions, figuring out when to start your IRA withdrawals, maybe you need to downsize your house, maybe you have to work longer in order to maintain the living standard that you want or get. But it's realistic planning. It's the kind of planning a squirrel would do if he could speak and could get onto a laptop. He would not go and grab one of Wall Street's tools and say, and the first question is, how much would you like to spend in retirement? And you say, well, a zillion dollars a day. And they say, no, well, let's just use our rule of thumb. And then they give you this aspirational spending level, and now it becomes your target for retirement. And then they show you that the way you're, given how much you've accumulated and how conservatively you're investing, you'll never make your target. So therefore, let us run your money and put you in high yield securities.
Do you not like the Monte Carlo projections, Larry?
This is malfeasance 101. This has nothing to do with economics. Anybody who would teach this, the top 50 business school or economics department would be fired the next day. There's a reason why nobody in any finance program in the country or economics department at a top school is teaching conventional financial planning, because it is is putting people at risk.
I'll have to ask my financial provider about that. I want to read a text message. Larry and Terry, thank you for all you do regarding Social Security. We use Larry's program to determine our best claiming strategy. What we are doing won't work for most, but it works for us. I want you to answer one quick question. We have so many. I'm sorry we can't do them all. But sure. Could Larry answer this question? If I start taking my Social Security at my full retirement age at 67, or I wait to take it at 70, at what age do those two total incomes intersect? That is, I'm taking money at 67 now. I'm getting money every month for 3 years. Now here comes the 70 train, and it's got more money, but it's behind because I started collecting earlier with 67.
It's called the break-even
so
point, but that's the wrong question.
It is the question
Larry,
this listener asked.
Okay, so it's just the same with break-even. At what point am I willing to pay premium? Because I expect for sure I'm going to have the average fire. If I have a fire in my house, it's going to be the average fire, and therefore I'm not going to pay a penny more than if the premium is above the average.
I'm not saying this question is smart. Is there a mathematical answer? At what age?
There is an answer. Our software shows you the break-even point, but we don't think, and we also say why you shouldn't look at it. But people have insisted on seeing it.
Well,
we
because
show it,
if I knew that it was 75, if I knew if it was 75, I'd say, okay, I'm going to live past 70. It's my decision. I'm going to live past 75. Now, your software will at least help me figure out what that number is, won't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, right away.
Let me add one more thing. Now, getting past this Social Security, maximizemysocialsecurity.com. That's Maxify, M-A-X-I-F-I.
This is our last question.
Okay, Maxify, M-A-X-I-F-I.com. This is either you do this yourself, this different kind of financial planning that Wall Street doesn't do because they want to keep your assets invested at risk and charge fees, and you can run this yourself for things like, does it make sense to do a Roth conversion now or later? I'm doing a commercial for you, Larry, but this is what's so fascinating about it. What is the right time for Social Security? What are the implications of all these things? Or they have financial planners who use Maxify who will guide you. It's just a totally different approach to financial planning that you're not getting in general. A lot of good friends are planners on the street. Larry, one last thought.
Well, you have to do comprehensive planning. If you can do it either for $149 using our tool, just in your own, tens of thousands of people have done that. We're ranked the best software of 2025 by Bankrate. It's extremely user-friendly. If you run into trouble, we have different levels of services, flight check, co-piloting, concierge service. We have fantastic free customer support. Anybody can use it. A squirrel can use it.
Yeah. I think some of us squirrels will. Larry, appreciate your time. I have to cut you guys both off, and I don't mean sound rude if I have been doing that in this conversation, but there's just so much interest in this and so many messages coming into the show. Larry Kotlikoff, thank you for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, Terry.
You too, Terry.
John, thanks for sharing your show.